الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون صدق الله العظيم Ulama e Kiram, most respected brothers, our sisters at the Madrasa, and all those listening over receivers. Over the past few Mondays, we have been discussing the causes of earthquakes, tremors, gale force winds, and so many other kinds of disasters that we now listen to almost every day. The frequency of these disasters has increased tremendously. And we have been discussing the causes of these disasters in the light of the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the Quranic verses. One is what we see with our eyes. What we see with our eyes, we don't deny that there is some haqiqah to it. Man and woman, husband and wife, they meet. And then a child is born. So now we will say the husband and wife met, and that was the cause of the child being born. But is that the real cause of the child being born? If that was the cause, then every person would have had his desire fulfilled if he wanted children. Yet we know that there are so many people, they go around the world looking for somebody who can give some kind of ta'weez or dua, or some medication, or they try every other means so that they may, their wives may give birth to some child. So what we see with our eyes is something different. The real doer of all things is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He is the one who changes the conditions. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the one who makes the decisions. But of course, He is going to make use of the same things of this world. The person who is hungry, he is going to eat food. For the sake of health, we are going to eat food. So the means of health is eating healthy food. But it is not necessary that if you eat that healthy food, then you will get health. If a person is suffering from a certain kind of disease or sickness or illness, then if he eats the healthy foods also, he's not going to get health. Health is in the hands of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, but He has created the means that you take medication, you take food which is healthy, Allah Ta'ala will give you health. I discussed this at length in some other majlis also, that if you have to look at the Quran Sharif and the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then nowhere in any place will we come across Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's promise that if you make use of certain means, then your desire will be fulfilled. We won't come across it. That means you won't come across anywhere in the Quran Sharif or Hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that the mere usage of means is a guarantee that your desire, your aim, your objective will be achieved. Means are means which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has created. We must make use of it. Business is a means of earning halal livelihood. So the person opens a business for what reason? So that he may make profit, so that he may earn halal livelihood if he is a good Muslim. And others, if they are not believers, then they too open businesses so that they may get some profit, so that they may earn their livelihood. Or so that they may be able to then buy their cars and homes and travel out for holidays and everything else that they have in mind. That is the reason why they open businesses. Has anybody up till now opened a business so that it may be a failure? A person is opening a business, you ask him, why are you opening this business? He says, well, I have got this desire at heart that I must open a big business and it must collapse. It must fail. We'll say, well, then probably this person has got a big insurance claim. Because sometimes for insurance claims, they burn down a business too. So we're not talking about those people. But generally, the person is opening a business so that he may make a profit. But do every person succeed in this? Does every business show profit? How many businesses suffer great losses? Unexpected losses. The person is running the business very truthfully, very honestly. He is not cheating. He is not doing anything that is wrong. But yet that business fails. So he adopted the means, but the business failed. In the same way, the person married so that he may have children, but he doesn't have children. In this way, you look at all the means. Sharia doesn't stop us. We must make use of the means. We are living in a world of means. But nowhere does Allah Ta'ala promise that if you make use of these means, then definitely, most certainly, surely, your objective will be achieved, you will succeed. That is not mentioned anywhere. It is in the hands of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. If He wills, then He'll give you success. And if He wants to make it a test, then it could be a failure. It's not necessary that that's an azab, it could be a test. But when it comes to a'mal, when it comes to our actions, when it comes to our deeds, then there is a promise of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I discussed this in detail, for example, taqwa. Now on taqwa, there's a promise. Allah Ta'ala is making a promise. Read the Quran Sharif and you will come across almost 13 places where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is promising different things on taqwa. And other ayat also indirectly refer to the same thing. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Now this ayat in the month of Ramadan, you'll hear plenty times. And we have by hearted this ayat too. Now here's an ayat in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is making a promise. If you adopt taqwa, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is making a promise. The Quran Sharif does not speak any lie. Allah Ta'ala does not speak any lie. Who is more truthful than Allah Ta'ala? وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that if you adopt taqwa, piety, and taqwa is not the name of plenty of tahajjud salat, or plenty of tawafs, plenty of umrahs, hajj upon hajj. That is what these days we consider to be taqwa. We gauge piety by means of how much of hajj the person made, how many umrahs he makes, how much of tawafs he makes, how much of tahajjud ishraq he makes. We say that is taqwa. Whereas that is not taqwa. If the person is making all those things, he is doing all those things, plentifully he is doing. He excels in that department. But he is not giving up that which Allah Ta'ala is displeased with, those things which are haram, those things which are forbidden. Even in Makkah Sharif, Madinah Sharif, he is not restraining himself from haram. In his business, in his home, in all other activities of his life, the moment he returns from those Mubarak places also, he goes back to his same evil habits. So he will get sawab for all those good deeds that he did, but taqwa was restraining himself from everything that is displeasing to Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And in that you don't have to do much, as my Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatum says, that have you seen any person opening up a big factory and he says that I want people to work for me, I'm employing people, and why am I employing people? That they must do nothing and I will pay them. He's going to employ so that they do nothing and he's going to give them wages. We haven't heard of those kind of factories, otherwise they'll be flooded with employees. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is saying that don't look at haram, I will give you sweetness of iman in the heart. Don't steal, don't gamble, don't speak lies, don't have jealousy, don't have malice, don't have greed, don't have this, don't do that, don't do that. And when you are going to not do all those things, then Allah Ta'ala makes so much of promises. In the ahadith we get so much of promises on restraining. And then the greatest gift that Allah Ta'ala gives is that when you're going to stay away from haram, then Allah will definitely find a way out for you in your problems, in your difficulties, in your hardships. Every person in this world is going to be faced with some kind of test and trial. If he is not sick, somebody in the family is going to be sick. If he hasn't met up with an accident, somebody in the family is going to meet up with an accident. If he is still alive, somebody in the family is going to die. We are not safe from problems, difficulties of different kinds. If there's going to be floods, if there's going to be drought, if there's going to be famine, then he is very pious, he is very holy, but it doesn't mean that he's not going to suffer in the process. So different kinds of tests and trials will come. But the person who has developed and adopted taqwa, he has given his heart to Allah Ta'ala. That's all Allah Ta'ala wants. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to look at our money or our bodies or our wealth or properties or how handsome we are, nothing. Allah Ta'ala is not interested in all those things. Inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum. Allah Ta'ala doesn't look at your faces. Wala ila amwalikum. He doesn't look at your wealth. Walakin yanzuru ila qulubikum wa a'malikum. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah Ta'ala looks at your hearts and He looks at your a'mal. That's all. Give your heart to Allah Ta'ala. Then give your body to your work. No problem. The body can be in the work, the heart must be with Allah Ta'ala. On Saturday, one young person asked a question here in this masjid after Asar. He said that when we are in the business, and then from the business we go to the masjid. And when we make Allahu Akbar, then that whole business comes in the namaz. Maybe of benefit to others, it just came to mind again, I don't plan it. So he says, we come out from the business, we come into the masjid, and the moment we are in the masjid, we make Allahu Akbar, and the whole business is rotating in the salat. So how do we get concentration? Why is it that we can't then concentrate? I said, well, it's obvious, you just came out from the business and into salat, directly from the business to salat. So you're not going to get that concentration, you're not going to get that khushu and khuzu that is desired, that dedication, devotion, that meditation, all those things you won't get because you just came out from there into salat. So at least there is just your business that will rotate. If a person came out from the business to the salat, then it will be that business that will rotate. But if he came out from the television to the salat, and many, many people, they do that, they are watching football, cricket, soccer, porn sites on the internet, porn sites on the television, porn films, filthy films, but they are namazis, 5-time namazis. So as soon as they hear the azan, they say, well, now it's time for namaz. So they switch off the television and straight into namaz. So now what will come in the namaz? Not business. Now those filthy women will come in his sajda. People have written to me. Maulana, I see that filthy woman in the sajda. Those filthy sights that the person saw and came, now he's actually watching that same film in his sajda, where he's supposed to be closest to Allah Ta'ala. So if you're going to come out like that into salat, that whatever you came out from, that's what is going to come into the head. So look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's sharia, look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ihsan upon us. That we are told to make sunnat namaz, before the fajr sunnat, before the zuhur sunnat, before the asar sunnat, before the maghrib also there is no sunnat, but still, if the immediately after the azan is salat. So therefore we are supposed to be there in the masjid a little before time. It's not that we wait for the azan and straight away from the azan into the salat. So we will still have a few minutes before that also we should be in the masjid. Isha again we've got a little bit of salat. Of sunnat. So if a person has got no real excuse, then at least by the time the azan is completed, the person is in the masjid. I told this young person, I said, by azan when it is completed, before azan finishes, or at least by the time that the azan has just finished, you are in the masjid with your wuzu. So then you will make your sunnat namaz. When you make your sunnat namaz, our problem is this, that we make 4 rakats of sunnah in 1 minute flat. Because we read so much of marathons and all kinds of races that are being run in the Commonwealth Games and other games. So now we can't get that opportunity because we are useless. As it is, we just eat, sit. So therefore, now where else are we going to show our speed? So we show it in Salat. That is where we show our speed. They have mentioned this, and this is a very true incident. The two people, one was an old Muslim, born Muslim, and the other person was a new Muslim. So the new Muslim took his time to read his Salat. And the other one finished very quick and he was out. So when he asked him, he said, "How did you finish so quick? It took me so long to read, how did you finish so quick?" So he said, "No, you see, you are a new Muslim. So it takes long for the new Muslim to make Salat. I am an old Muslim, I know it very well. So therefore I make it with speed." So now that kind of Salat is not going to bring that khushu and khuzu. But if the person makes his Salat properly, the 4 rakat sunnat now, he's making it properly, the Zohar sunnat, then it will take him 5 minutes maximum if he reads it properly. He will still have a few minutes after that before the first Salat begins. So during those 5 minutes or 6 minutes or 7 minutes that he now has after having performed his four sunnat, he makes istighfar, he makes tawbah, he thinks of the akhirat, he thinks of presentation on the day of judgment before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He takes a look at his amal, at his actions, and then he reflects a little bit on his life in those few minutes, that what if my death has to come now? Am I ready to present myself before my Allah? In other words, he is cutting off from that business as much as possible in those 5 to 6 minutes. Now he's cutting off, because now he's thinking of Allah, he's thinking of Akhirat, he's thinking of the azab of Jahannam, he's thinking of the ni'mats of Jannat. So he's already cut off now from that business. Now comes Farz Namaz, when he's going to make Allahu Akbar. 80% of his heart will be there in that Salat. And inshallah, if he makes an effort, then 100% will be there. One doctor friend of mine from Johannesburg, when I gave him this tartib, after a few days, he says, "Maulana, just after a few days, I already find a world of difference in my Salat. Try it out and see if you don't find a world of difference." Because then you'll be cutting off, and now you're coming into the Salat, into first Salat. So one very beautiful point Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala brought to heart. My shaykh sometimes says, "Mujhe ilm-e azim ata hua." Now we are not in that caliber or anything of that kind, but I didn't read this anywhere and I didn't come across it. But then thinking that why the sahaba-e kiram radiyallahu anhu ajma'in, when they used to come into their salat, now we were supposed to discuss something else, it's gone somewhere else. When they used to come into the salat, why their khushu and khuzu wasn't affected? Why their concentration wasn't affected? Why they did not start getting so much of thoughts in their salat like we get? That some thought or the other, that is shaitan, he will whisper, it will come. We can't avoid that. We don't bring it purposely, but if it just comes away, then ignore it. But generally, when they came into salat, it was like as if from the business world, when they came into salat, now the salat itself was a different world for them. They truly believed that it was the miraj of the mu'min. When they went into that salat, they were in miraj. They were at the feet of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala when they went into sajda. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam declared salat as miraj al-mu'mineen. So when they got into salat, the kayfiyat was different. In fact, from the time that they started their wuzu for that salat, the kayfiyat was different. From the time that they proceeded towards that salat, the kayfiyat on them was different. Not like us, that we are talking, joking, laughing. We entered the masjid, we're still laughing, joking, and then Allahu Akbar. So their kayfiyat was different. They truly believed that now we are going to stand before Allah. And on the day of judgment, that is how we will have to stand. That ayat of the Quran Sharif was always before them. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. Person who feared standing before his Rabb, before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. and he restrained his nafs from evil passions and desires, then Jannat will be his abode. So they always recall that standing before Allah. So why their salat was not affected? Yet they were business people also. They used to come out from their farms. They may not have had the kind of industries that we have today. But we can't say that they were not doing business. They were also selling animals, cattle. They were planting crops. And when they moved out into foreign lands, and they engaged in big, big businesses. So that ayat of the Quran Sharif came to mind, in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. Allah Ta'ala says, رِجَال, they are the real men. Allah refers to them as real, true men. Otherwise they are children, nabaligh children. The true men are those, rijal, la tulhihim tijaratum wala bay'un an zikrillah. That their businesses, their transactions, their dealings, their buying and selling, their importing and exporting, give whatever wide meaning you wish to. There is tijarat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, لَا تُلْهِهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْءٍ. It did not divert them from the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala brings zikrullah first and iqamat the salat after that. And zikrullah, then wa iqamis salat, wa ita'i zakat. From the establishment of salat, from the giving of zakat. And yakhafuna yawman, they feared that day. تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. When the hearts and the eyes will be overturned, the day of Qiyamah, that intensity of that day, the terror of that day, as Allah Ta'ala mentions in another ayat of the Qur'an Sharif, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ يوم ترونها تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد.
Allah Ta'ala describes the terror of the day of judgment. Ya ayyuhannasu taqoo rabbakum, fear your Rabb. The shake-up of the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala talks about. It will be a terrible shake-up. Shayun azim, a very great thing. Yawma taraunaha tazhalu kullu murdi'atin amma ardaat. Generally, this is the condition. Everybody knows if they've got the wife has given birth and that baby has to be given milk half a dozen times at night. And during the day also, the mother is so concerned that my baby must not go thirsty, not go hungry, all the time. The mother doesn't forget that baby who is being breastfed. But on the day of Qiyamah, or that shake-up when it is going to take place, تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْدِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَةٍ. They will forget that. Baby one side, mother one side, father one side, mother one side. Brothers and sisters all running from each other. Everybody will flee from everyone. And those women who were expecting children, they will have miscarriages because of that shake-up. And you will notice people as walking as if they are drunk, intoxicated state, wobbly. Allah Ta'ala says they are not drunk. It is the azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala which is shadeed. So Allah Ta'ala says, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْءٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That they are the men, true men, that means true believing men, that's what it means. That their businesses, their transactions and everything else does not stop them, does not prevent them, does not divert their attention from the remembrance of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala.
So the point that I mentioned there was that the Sahaba-e-Kiram radiallahu anhu ajma'een, why their salat was not affected by the outside world like ours, even though they came out from the businesses into salat. Even the sunnat salat, when they had to make, the sunnat salat was of that same level. Because they came out from one ibadat into another ibadat. Their tijarat was an ibadat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala talks about their tijarat. Allah ta'ala is talking about their tijarat. And he says, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْءٌ أَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That means their tijarat was also zikrullah. The tijarat was also an ibadat. And they came out from one ibadat into another ibadat. From one ibadat, they came into another ibadat. So in the business, they were conscious of Allah Ta'ala's presence all the time. And now when they came into salat, what do you have to do in salat? To be conscious of Allah Ta'ala's watching you. So now they came from the same thing into another ibadat, so their concentration was not affected. Because in this business itself, they were so cautious that my Allah must not become displeased in the manner that I trade, in the manner that I deal, in the manner that I talk, in the manner that I sell, in the manner that I buy, in the manner that I transport. Whatever I do in my business, it must be pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. The niyat also was good, that I'm earning so that I don't have to extend my hand and beg of people, that I can maintain, support my family, my children, that I can contribute towards madaris, masajid, the poor, the needy, the yatim, the ghuraba, the masakin, that I can contribute towards that. I can assist people who are in disaster-stricken areas. Now that is his niyat to earn. And then at the same time, I can give zakat, I can give lillah, I can give sadaqat, I can go for hajj, I can go for umrahs. Now the person's niyat also in earning was right, and the business also he was conducting in this manner, that he was conscious that my Allah is watching in this business. So that person who has made his business into ibadat, when he is going to come out from that ibadat into another ibadat, then his concentration will still remain in that salat. Because he was all the time conscious of Allah Ta'ala's presence in his business. He was not doing anything. Although he was buying, selling, doing everything, it doesn't mean he was holding tasbih and reading all the time. When the customer asks, how much is this item? He says, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Now will that customer ever buy from him? अगर कोई पूछे भाई कितने की चीज है तो कहते भाई मैं तो तस्बीह पढ़ रहा हूँ हर वक्त तस्बीह. So he is going to, in fact, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Tanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he has mentioned, he says that if a person is selling some item and he has to go on repeating, for example, he is selling mangoes. Now he goes on saying mangoes for so much a dozen or so much a kilo. Now he goes on saying mangoes, mangoes the whole day. So he's getting the sawab of tasbih. He's getting the sawab of tasbih. If he's a poor person, now he's sitting, what else can he do? So he's trying to sell some mangoes and make a living. And his niyat is good. He's trying to provide for the family, for his children, pay rent, light water bills. So he's saying mangoes, mangoes is a kind of a tasbih at that time. So this person in his business, he was conscious of Allah Ta'ala's presence and the ahkam of Allah Ta'ala in that business. So when he came out of that business and came into salat, he came out from one ibadat into another ibadat. Unlike us, that our businesses are not ibadat anymore. If we have to check our businesses, how many people can say that their businesses are an ibadat? Because when does a business become an ibadat? Listen carefully, this is a very important point that Allah Ta'ala has brought to mind. That when does that business become ibadat? If we say that he is coming out from ibadat into another ibadat, so that business has to be first an ibadat. If it's not an ibadat, then you're not coming out from an ibadat into another ibadat. So when will that business be an ibadat? So that business will be an ibadat when we apply the laws of Sharia in that business. In the business transactions, in the deals, in the buying, in the selling, in the importing and exporting and whatever we are doing, then we apply the laws of Sharia in that business. We are conscious of the fact that we are slaves of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala is watching, and Allah Ta'ala knows, and He is the one who is supplying, He is the one who is sending that risk. We are not seeing Allah Ta'ala, we are seeing the customers coming. But in reality, it is Allah Ta'ala who is sending those customers, and He is making them the means of giving us He's sending them and making them the means of giving us our livelihood. So we are not seeing Allah Ta'ala, we are seeing the customers. But in reality, it is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who is sending them. Who puts it into their hearts that going to that shop and buy? Why do we hear so many times the person say that he's very busy, lots of customers, he got no time. And the person next door selling exactly the same thing. And he says, well, I don't know, some jinn or jadu or seher or something has blocked my way. And most of the time it's our sins that have blocked the way, nothing else. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the one who is sending them. As I explained in one of the majlis, that if a person has to give a gift to someone, and say that take this, or a parcel to someone, and say take this parcel and go and give it as a gift to so and so from my side. Now the person who has sent the parcel is out in America, China, he is out in some other part of the world, and he met up with this person from our country, so he gave him a parcel. And he said, take this parcel and go and give it to so-and-so in your city, in your town. He's a friend of mine, go and give it to him. Now this person travels, brings the parcel and he delivers it. When he delivers the parcel, now if we start thanking this person so much for the gift, we tell him, thank you very much, you gave me this gift and this hadiah, and I'm so grateful to you for this gift. And he starts kissing his feet and he's, so what would we think of him? If that man was a postman who came and delivered it, now you're kissing that postman's feet for delivering the parcel. Yes, you make shukar of it, that we thank you very much for delivering it safe and sound. But if this person forgets who the giver is, then we'll say he's stupid, he's foolish. He must thank that person who has sent that parcel, that we are grateful to you for remembering me. I'm so grateful that you thought of me. I appreciate your muhabbat, your love, and your kindness. So you're going to thank that person. So in the same way here, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the provider from that shop, from that business. He is the provider. Now this person, if he applies the laws of Sharia in his business, he doesn't deal with haram, he doesn't hide any defects in the articles, he's honest, he's truthful, and all the other laws of Sharia too, which we ignore, if he applies that, then that tijarat will now become ibadat. And from that ibadat, when he's going to come out, then it will be an ibadat into an ibadat. But if the person, the moment he is in the masjid, he is in ibadat. But when he's in his business, then now he follows his own whims and fancies, and he checks how the Jews and the Christians and the Nasara and everyone else do business. How they borrow from the banks and build up big, big malls, where, as I said, you get mauled most of the time with the high prices. In some of the malls, you get mauled, devoured. So this person now, if he is going to just borrow from the banks on interest and all kinds of monies, is unconcerned, and his dealings are not straight, and he's got all kinds of people employed also. His secretaries are also semi-naked secretaries with whom he's sitting in the office alone and doing business and all kinds of other things that happen in businesses. So he's not in ibadat. He's not even conscious that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is watching him. Now when he is going to come out from there, so then his concentration will be seriously affected. He's not going to be in ibadat. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions this.
So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He wants to give us the best of both worlds. He didn't stop us from making use of those means. If we're going to make use of those means, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, out of His kindness, mercy, rahmat, if He decides that those means must be the means of getting us to obtain our objective, then we will attain it. But if Allah Ta'ala does not wish and does not desire, and His decision is otherwise, then we'll make use of all the means, but we'll not be able to attain it. So here in this ayat, Allah Ta'ala promises, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah will find a way out for this person in his difficulties, in his hardships, and He will provide for him from sources that the person did not even expect, least expected, unknown to him, from where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will provide. It will baffle this person's imagination also, if he adopts taqwa. Now that is a promise. So are we going to believe our eyes, or are we going to believe the promises of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? At present we don't want to believe Allah Ta'ala's promises, we want to believe our eyes. And we truly believe that if we are going to do everything exactly as the others do, then we will succeed. Once again, that example that for the believers, their success and their progress is different from the progress of the disbelievers. For the disbelievers, there is no restriction, they are azad. For us, there is no question of azad. Paabande muhabbat kabhi azad nahi hai. Paabande muhabbat kabhi azad nahi hai. Is gham ki hai dil koi miad nahi hai. This love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, which binds us as Muslims and as believers, then we will never be azad. We can't be free until our death comes. Until death, we can never be azad. We will have to stay within the Sharia. And that, as I mentioned, I think, last night, that tying ourselves in the chains of Sharia is true freedom. O azad akhtar, ghame do jahan se. Ho azad akhtar, ghame do jahan se. Jo ho jaye dil se, ghulame Madina. When you really become ghulam of Madina Sharif, that means the nizam of Madina Sharif, the message of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the shariat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when we become ghulam of that, when we become slaves of that, then we will get true freedom. To get true freedom, we have to become slaves. But slaves of whom? Of Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Then we will get true freedom. Then we will get sukoon. Sukoon-e jahan tum kahan doondte ho? Sukoon-e jahan hai nizam-e Madina. So if you want sukoon, if you want rizq also with barkat, if you want peace of mind, we want tranquility, we want happiness, we want contentment, we want satisfaction, and who does not want these things? Is there any person who can say that, no, I don't want satisfaction, I don't want any kind of contentment, I don't want any kind of peace and happiness? Then that person must go and get his head examined. Everybody wants it. And there is the only way of getting it is to become ghulam-e-Madina. Apply the Sharia of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And it takes into consideration all the weaknesses of man and all the desires of man. Whatever our desires are, the proper way of enjoying the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala and getting that fulfillment of the desires is to make ourselves a true slave of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Try it out and see what enjoyment there is after that. How many times you must have heard that example that my Shaykh gave, that he was eating with Hazrat Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Phulpuri Rahmatullah Ali, and he asked, Hazrat Shah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali asked him, he said, what is it? He said, dal. He said, MashaAllah, bahut badi ni'mat hai. And then while he was eating, he said, is dal ke khane mein mujhe biryani ka maza aa raha hai. He said, Hazrat, how can you be getting the taste of biryani in the eating of this dal? He said, isliye ke mera Allah mujhe khila raha hai. He says, how can you be fed by Allah? You're saying it, you're enjoying it because your Allah is feeding you. If the beloved of somebody has to pick up the morsel and put in his mouth, what kind of enjoyment he gets? Now here they have made Allah their beloved. So he says, I'm getting the enjoyment of biryani in this dal because my Allah is feeding me. He says, how can Allah be feeding you? He said, this hand with which I pick up this dal and I bring to my mouth, who is it that gives that strength to this hand?
If Allah Ta'ala paralyzes that hand, can I pick it up? So that Allah who is giving me the strength in this hand, so He is feeding me. So now every morsel that He is taking, is getting the enjoyment of biryani. I say, with us, because of our disobedience of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we don't even get the enjoyment of dal in our biryanis nowadays, because of the anxieties, the worries, the problems, and the restlessness that we are experiencing on account of our sins. Everything seems to be working against us. Nigahe aqreba badli, nigahe aqreba badli, mizaje dosta badla. Nigahe aqreba badli, mizaje dosta badla. Nazar ek unki kya badli ke kul sara jahan badla. Nazar ek unki kya badli ke kul sara jahan badla. If Allah Ta'ala turns His glance of mercy away, then the person will have everything of the material world too, but he's going to find restlessness. Here He says, Mizaje Nigahe Aqreba Badli. Even the family members, relatives, friends, everybody seems to have turned away. Mizaje Dosta Badla. Nazarek Unki Kya Badli. Kul Sara Jahan Badla. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of understanding the Quran and the Sunnah, and believing truly that our lives are in Allah Ta'ala's hands, and the hearts of everyone is in the hands of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will turn the hearts towards us with mercy, with affection, with love, with compassion, with kindness. Even the hearts of the kings and the rulers, according to the hadith, Allah Ta'ala will change it in our favor. They will rule with kindness, with compassion, with mercy, when we are going to be obedient to Allah Ta'ala. And if we are going to be disobedient, then try what we want. Allah Ta'ala will turn those hearts away. Who is not complaining today? That person is looking on the other side, that person looking on that side. This one was close but has distanced himself. This one hates me, that one dislikes me, that one fights with me. That everywhere there's nothing but quarrels, arguments, fights, wars, wars and wars. We have to empty our hearts. Desires of this world are natural, but the true desire must be that Allah must become ours. Every other desire must be in accordance with Allah Ta'ala's wish, will and desire. As Hazrat Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah say, and I conclude on that. When Hazrat Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah said, Har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi. Every desire has left my heart. Ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. Oh my beloved Allah, I have emptied my heart for you. Hazrat Tanvir Rahmatullah said, even if I had 100,000, I would have given it to you on this poetry, because that was his hal. They were not only qal, qal, words, words, speeches, speeches. It was a condition of their hearts. Har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi. Har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi. Ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. Ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil mursaleen. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا ذا الجلال والإكرام ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most compassionate, loving, caring, tolerant, most beautiful Allah. forgive each and every one of us. Ya Allah, we do realize that we have moved far away from Deen and Sharia, from the Quran and Sunnah. Ya Allah, our lives have become full of disobedience, using your very bounties for your disobedience. Hum kitne namak harab hai. Teri hi naimatein kha kha kar, teri hi nafarmani. We eat the food provided by you. When we get strength in our bodies, then we commit zina. We walk towards haram. We look at haram. We listen to haram. We fantasize about haram. Ya Allah, we use your ni'mats, your bounties for your disobedience. We know we are deserving of the worst of all punishment. But Ya Allah, your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us that something most beloved to you is the forgiveness of the sinners when they turn towards you with repentance. Ya Allah, we are turning towards you, ashamed of the sins that we have committed. Forgive our major sins and minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly in the light of day or darkness of nights. Forgive us, our parents, wives and children, brothers and sisters, and the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Bless us all with good health, with prosperity, with contentment, with satisfaction, with your ma'rifat, with your yaqeen, with your muhabbat, and the muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, come into our lives. Ya Allah, change the direction of our lives. Make us yours and become ours. Agar ik tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. Jo tu mera, to sab mera, falak mera, zameen meri. Ya Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Whether they are in hospitals, homes, clinics, or amongst us, whoever is sick and ailing, give them complete shifa. Ya Allah, bless us also with shifa from spiritual ailments. Clean and purify our hearts of malice, greed, pride, arrogance, jealousy, envy. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal risk and remove their difficulties. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those on journeys, make them reach the destination safely. Ya Allah, give the Muslims barakat in the tijarat, barakat in their homes, barakat in their lives, barakat in their businesses, barakat in their health, barakat in our time, barakat in every ni'mat and bounty of yours. Become pleased with us, my beloved Allah. Hum se razi ho ja, hum se razi ho ja, hum se razi ho ja. Ya Allah, Huzur-e Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam ka sachcha ishq naseeb farma. My beloved Allah, bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. When our mouth comes, take us to Madina Tayyiba. Bless us with shahadat in Madina Tayyiba, burial in Jannatul Baqi. Throughout the world, mankind is suffering. Ya Allah, bless everyone with hidayat, with guidance, with iman, with Islam, and make them worthy of entry into Jannat. But those who have become obstinate, they are and they made up their minds, they will continue with the persecution, torture, tyranny and zulm upon the ummah. Then, Ya Allah, destroy them like you destroyed the Aad and Samud. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, hardships and problems of the ummah. Ya Allah, Rasul-e Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made duas for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless our families, our parents, our children, and the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with all the goodness that he asked. And from all the mischief, corruption, fitnas that he asked for protection, especially that of the Dajjal. Ya Allah, protect us and the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Except all the works of deen that are taking place. Tabligh o da'wat ki mehnat qubool farma. Masajid, madaris, khanqao ki mehnat qubool farma. Tamam deeni idaro ki mehnat qubool farma. Aur sab ki hifazat farma. Protect the Haramain Sharifain. Protect Masjid Aqsa. Protect our Masajid. Protect all Dini institutions. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the desires, the wishes, the aspirations that are in the hearts of each and every one who have raised his or her hand this part of the night before you. My Allah, the fulfillment of those wishes is in your hands. Ya Allah, fulfill all their good wishes, desires and aspirations. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardships, the problems, the tests and the trials that the individuals, both men and women, are undergoing who have raised their hands this part of the night before you. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, hardships and problems. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.